This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com. Today is Friday, July 14th, 2006. Happy Friday and happy Bastille Day. There's been lots of things in the news. We've got the war that's going on that just started in the Middle East. We've got the record high oil costs. The barrel of oil yesterday went up to $76 a barrel. Outrageously expensive. But with my hybrid car, I'm not feeling it too much. Red buttons died yesterday. Got all kinds of shit going on. And yesterday, the boyfriend left for his 10-day vacation. So, of course, I'm a little sad today, but happy for him that he'll get to finally be on vacation. I put him on the airplane yesterday at about 2 o'clock, and he got there okay. He's staying at his parents' house. And actually, later in the podcast, you'll hear him tell us about, because I recorded that part before this, tell us about what he's doing and where he's going. So anyway, the boyfriend is off for his vacation. You won't be hearing from him for the next at least 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, depending on when we get it together when he comes back. So that's that. Now, so even though things are going on, I'm going to be missing the boyfriend. I did get one bit of amazing news today that I just think is really cool, and I can't wait for it. For any of you who have listened to the podcast for a while or who have read my blog for a couple years, you know that I am a huge fan of Augustine Burroughs, the writer, gay man writer, who wrote his famous memoir. The first part was Running with Scissors, and the second part was Dry. But I found out today on Towel Road, that's one of the blogs I read, that the movie version of Running with Scissors is coming out in the fall. So, of course, I have to click on the links that he has and find out that they actually have a movie trailer already of the movie coming out in the fall. So I'm going to play it for you here, and you can listen to it and you salivate like I am, because if the movie is anything like the book, I'm going to totally enjoy the movie. So listen to this movie trailer. I know you can't see it, but you can listen to it. It's just not too long. Should be starting here any second.
My name is Augustine Burroughs.
I polish my allowance.
But why, Augustine, why?
Because I like shiny things.
I really don't see myself in you at all.
I'm more like my mom.
Your mother was meant to be a very famous woman.
My father just didn't understand my mother and me.
4:30. I have a reading.
I got stuck in traffic.
You're trying to sabotage me.
I'm unhappy.
I'm unhappy.
I need to see both you and Theodore on a regular and disciplined basis for 5 hours a day.
I'm available, Dr. Fincher.
5 hours a day? I can't do that. I have to work.
See, I told you. I'm married to a narcissist.
He's leaving.
Just you and me, baby. Come here.
I failed as a wife and a mother.
Yes, you have.
Where do I begin to tell the story of how my mother left me?
Your mother is in a state of crisis.
What is this?
Adoption papers. Dr. Finch has agreed to become your legal guardian.
You're giving me away to your shrink?
No doctor lives here.
Shh. Everyone, wake up! A miracle! Dr. Finch is sort of an unusual shrink.
Would you like some of these?
What are they?
Just got some samples in the mail, so I don't know.
Words cannot describe these people.
Just a little kibble.
It's for dogs.
Well, I guess you're afraid to try new things, Augustine.
Dr. Finch has 2 daughters. Of the daughters, Hope is by far Finch's favorite. I know this because...
Hope, you are by far my favorite daughter.
And then there's Natalie.
Are you ready?
For what?
To play doctor.
What are you guys doing?
Electroshock therapy.
Awesome.
This fall...
You've been spending a lot of time at the Finch's house.
Are there other options I'm not aware of?
Based on the personal memoir, Running with Scissors, a film by Ryan Murphy.
I haven't had a drink in 3 years.
Oh, excuse me, could you get him a medal?
Annette Bening, Brian Cox, Joseph Fiennes, Evan Rachel Wood, Alec Baldwin, Jill Claiborne, and Joseph Cross as Augustine Burroughs.
The ceiling was crushing us.
So we made a skylight.
I think it brings a much-needed sense of humor to the kitchen.
Running with Scissors.
All Oh, man, I can't wait for that movie to come out. It looks like it's going to be really good. I mean, just amazing. With Gwyneth Paltrow, what's his name? Alec Baldwin, Ralph Fiennes. Oh, you heard all the names. I just can't wait. I think it's going to be amazing because I read Running with Scissors like literally the month it came out, and then I read Dry, and then I went back and read Cellavision, and now I'm currently just about finished reading Possible Side Effects, all by Augustine Burroughs. He's one of my favorite authors. So I'm really looking forward to that movie coming out in the fall, and of course I'll drag the boyfriend to see it. But maybe he should read the book first. I'm not sure. In any case, so let's go ahead and move into the Boyfriend's History Podcast, and that will end the show. But, you might want to get a piece of paper and a pencil because the boyfriend gives you a little quiz. And I took the quiz and did very well. Well, at least I thought I did. Anyway, enjoy this history podcast for all of those who said that they would love a history podcast. For the next 15 to 20 minutes, you will get to listen to the Boyfriend's History Podcast. So here we go. Welcome to This Day in History. This is our History Day segment presented to you by The Boyfriend. And I would like to thank my lovely assistant, Miss Vanna White, for presenting me with this moment. Our hostess, Miss Vanna White. A round of applause.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vanna. Now let's begin our history moment with a true or false quiz. Do you have your paper and pen ready for this?
Is this for
pop
me?
Quiz? Yes.
Okay, now as we do it, are you going to tell me if I get the answers right or wrong?
I'm going to read all of the questions. You must write down your answer. And at the end of our history, our Moment in History podcast, I will give the answers.
Okay, so.
Wait, let me give you a piece of paper.
Yes, I was going to say, I need a piece of paper now.
Here's a piece of paper.
All right.
You came to class unprepared.
You didn't tell me
I was... Spanky poos. Bend over.
You didn't tell me I was going to have to do this.
Next time you have to clap the erasers.
How am I going to do this and hold the iPad at the same time?
You can multitask.
How many questions?
Question number one. There are five questions.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah.
Do not ask any more questions.
Okay, I'll just listen.
True or false? The French Revolution began when the king and queen were overthrown by radicals led by Robespierre.
Now, do I tell you my answer? Just write
Stop it. Write it down. You're not following directions.
Okay. Go ahead.
You'll have to stay after school and take your clothes off. Question number two. The Bolshevik Revolution of 1917 overthrew the Tsar. Question number three. Napoleon Bonaparte was French. Don't laugh. Write down your answer. You're being so stubborn.
Uh-huh.
Question number four. Hitler became Chancellor of Germany by staging a bloody coup d'etat.
Okay.
Question number five.
The final question.
The Renaissance was a distinct event in history. I will reveal the answers at the end of our podcast.
Okay.
But let's begin with this day in history. And I would like to today celebrate Bastille Day, which I think remarkable palate mark. Did I say that correctly?
Remarkable palate.
Might correct my French. I think it's Bastille Day.
It's remarkably mark.
But he's remarkable, no matter how you say it.
Yeah.
Anyway, July 14th. 1789, celebrated in France. Now, here's where we go to question number one. The French Revolution began when the king and queen were overthrown by radicals like Robespierre. Well, that's not exactly true.
Oh, so you're giving the answers?
To the first question.
Okay, so the first question's answer was...
The answer is false.
So I got it right.
You did.
Okay,
you're so smart.
Keep going.
Now, Bastille Day is celebrated as similar to our Day of Independence, July 4th, 1789. And it's easy to
draw the conclusion that this was the beginning of the French Revolution. It was bloody. The king and queen were overthrown. It was violent. And that's not quite true. The French Revolution actually began with a very moderate declaration by the National Assembly in 1789 that it was indeed the government of France. Now, the National Assembly declared itself in June of 1789, and it was made up of defectors from the First and Second Estate. There were three estates in France that made up what we would call a representative body. And that representative body had not been consulted for over 170 years. The Third Estate was made up of middle class, lower class, farmers, peasants, common people. And that was 96% of the French population. The Second Estate made up of the nobility, and they were the large landowners, the nobility of France. And then the First Estate made up of the clergy, the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church was the single largest landowner in France at that time. Well, the king was forced to convene this this convention, this General Assembly in 1789, and I won't get into the circumstances. They're very complicated. But he was forced to convene this Estates General, and when they convened, members of the First and Second Estate decided they were going to defect and join the Third Estate and declare a National Assembly.
Ah.
Yeah. Well, these members of the First and Second Estate, they were enlightened. They had read works by Voltaire and Rousseau, and they were encouraged by the results of the American Revolution. The Marquise de Lafayette of the Second Estate had actually assisted the American effort here, and in the independence movement from Great Britain. So they believed, these members of the First and Second Estate, they were smart, they're intelligent. In the 18th century, they were cool.
Oh.
They were considered modern. And so they believed that France really needed to modernize. The monarchy needed to modernize. And so they defected. They joined the Third Estate that declared a National Assembly June 17, 1789. So that's when the French Revolution began. But these were all moderates. Members of the this Estates General, when they convened, they were all across the political spectrum, conservative, moderate, to radical. And the radicals, that's where the Jacobins, the Robespierres, the Dantonists, that's where they sat with the Third Estate. But their voices were not very influential in these early phases of the French Revolution. This is out in Versailles, 12 miles from Paris. The monarchy resided in Paris. They were away from Paris, away from the problems that the average French citizens were having. And they were particularly more boisterous in Paris. So, in 1789, June of 1789, this National Assembly declared itself. And this assembly, this National Assembly that had declared itself, was very moderate. And they really thought that the king and queen could be reconciled to the cause of the revolution. They really thought that a constitutional monarchy was possible at that time.
All right.
So what was going on in Paris was actually a little removed from what was going on at Versailles. So in July of 1789, in Paris, here's where the more radical elements were much more active. The sans-culottes, the Jacobins, those secret clubs that convened, they really believed that France needed to be a republic, that the king and queen needed to be overthrown, and that France needed to be a republic. But that was not the majority opinion in June of 1789. In July of 1789, July 14th, the radicals had really whipped up the flames of hysteria in Paris with the sans-culottes. The working poor, the sans-culottes were the working class of Paris. They didn't have the means or the influence of the middle class or the nobility, And they wanted a more, a more equal society. And they believed that could only be accomplished if the king and queen were overthrown. Well, in July of 1789, the king, Louis XVI, received a very real world. He received a reality check from his physiocratic minister, Jacques Necker.
Okay.
Can you say that?
Jacques Necker.
Necker. He was a Swiss Protestant physiocrat, and he very bluntly told the king, "Sire, if you wish to appease all of these various revolutionary elements in France, you need to reform the finances. There needs to be financial reform in France. The Third Estate, they are shouldering too much of the financial burdens of France, and that needs to change."
Okay.
So, the radicals of Paris knew that the king was going to listen to this advice, but that he was going to be persuaded by the nobility to disregard it and to dismiss Necker. Can you say that?
Necker. Gotcha.
Yes. So, sure enough, Louis XVI, willy-nilly, wishy-washy, the wrong king for the wrong time period. Louis XVI probably belonged in another time when absolute monarchy was more revered. He dismissed
Necker.
He dismissed Necker. Well, the radicals knew this was going to happen. And so they said, the radicals of Paris at the time said, if when we hear that the king has dismissed
Necker,
we will give a signal from the Montmartre, the highest point in Paris. And when we give this signal from the Montmartre, that is a sign that
Necker
has been dismissed, and we will storm the Bastille. The Bastille.
Okay.
And this occurred, this true enough occurred July 14, 1789. The king dismissed
Necker.
And the signal was given from the Montmartre. And the Paris mob stormed the Bastille. And so that occurred July 14, 1789, but it really was removed from events going on at Versailles. It really was not a part of the revolution, the moderate phase of the revolution, yet it was symbolic. That was really the important, what was important about the storming of the Bastille was its symbolic show of force that absolute monarchy in France was not going to be tolerated any longer. And it also was a warning.
A warning for?
A warning that the extremists, the radicals, their strength was Paris. And once the king and queen returned to Paris in October of 1789, they still remained at Versailles. But once they returned to Paris, and once the National Assembly accompanied the king and queen to Paris, that the revolution was going to take a radical phase. The voices of the radicals were strongest in Paris. And actually, the king and queen remained as heads of state of France until 1792. So we cannot say that the storming of the Bastille resulted in removal of the king and queen in 1789. The king and queen remained as heads of state in a weakened state, but they remained as heads of state until 1792. A republic was declared when the radicals ascended. The National Convention was declared. By this time, France had declared war on Austria and Prussia. And finally, the king was executed in January of 1793. So he remained in power for that 3 to 4 year period. So, question number one, the French Revolution began when the king and queen were overthrown by radicals led by Robespierre, is not true. It actually began in June of 1789, 3 years before a republic was declared.
Okay, sweetheart. Now, that is amazing.
Are you amazed?
I am absolutely amazed. Actually, what I'm amazed at is it took you 13 minutes to answer that question.
Well, I told you I was going to give you 15 minutes.
Oh, so that's the whole thing right there?
Do you want to hear more?
Well, I think what we need to do is go over the rest of the questions.
I will. But for those who are interested in further reading on this, I can give a couple of sources. Crane Brenton's Anatomy of Revolution, first published in 1938, last edition 1968, but still good stuff. And Crane Brenton compares four historic revolutions in history: the French Revolution, the English Civil War, the American Revolution, and the Russian Revolution. And if you are interested in knowing more about this phase of the French Revolution, Crane Brenton breaks down revolution into phases. And so the storming of the Bastille actually occurred during the moderate phase of the French Revolution. The radical phase did not occur until 3 years later. So if you want to know more about this, Crane Brenton gives an excellent analytical answer to question number one. Also, if you want to go really back in time and visit a primary source correspondence on the event, Reflections on the Revolution in France, written by Edmund Burke in 1790, is a very, very lengthy correspondence. It's pretty much an open letter, and it served as a red flag to the other conservative monarchs of Europe to pay attention to what was going on in France. 1790, before the radical phase, the king and queen were still in their positions, and Burke warned the other monarchs of Europe, pay attention, align, and put down this revolution because you could be next. So Reflections on the Revolution in France, another very good source. It's not something you want to bring to the beach, but it does serve as a primary source document relevant to that time period. Now let's go over the other answers. What answers do you have?
Well, the first one I had false, and I got it.
And you are correct.
Correct. The second question, do you want to read it again?
The Bolshevik Revolution of 1917 overthrew the Tsar.
I said true.
And it is false. The Bolshevik Revolution of 1917 overthrew the provisional government led by Kerensky. The Tsar had already abdicated.
All right, let's move on to question number three. So I got one wrong and one right.
Napoleon was French.
I put false.
Why?
Because he wasn't born in France.
Where was he born?
In that little island off of Italy.
Called? Starts with the sea.
I know.
Corsica.
Corsica. Okay.
Very good.
I did know that.
I must have talked about that.
No, I knew that.
Hitler,
got two right, one wrong.
Hitler became Chancellor of Germany by staging a bloody coup d'etat.
False. He was elected. Wasn't he elected?
He was not elected either.
He was appointed?
He was appointed by the President Hindenburg in 1933.
Oh, okay.
So through legal means, Hitler became Chancellor of Germany.
So I've now got three right, one wrong.
That's correct. But you didn't know, but you couldn't explain why you got that wrong.
I just knew that it wasn't a bloody
So you might have to have half a stinky poo.
No.
Or you might have to clap one eraser. Question number five. The Renaissance was a distinct event in history.
I wrote false.
Now, why did you say that?
Because the Renaissance was actually a period of time, like over so many years that these different events took place during this Renaissance
I would accept that. Okay. That's true. The answer is false. The Renaissance, the term Renaissance was not even used until the 19th century. But what we now call the Renaissance was really a change over time that had occurred since the mid-13th century, and over time, this renewed interest in art and literature and learning became more and more pronounced as a merchant class emerged, and as a really result of it was a result of trade, and these families, these merchant families, these bankers, they had been transacting in trade. They became very affluent, and like today's middle class, they wanted to live in bigger houses. They wanted their children to be educated. They wanted to be literate. They wanted works of art in their homes. And so by the 14th and 15th centuries, this change over time became more evident, but it really was not an event. It really signaled a change, a gradual and slow change over time. First observed, some historians say it wasn't really in southern Italy. Some historians look to other parts of Europe and say this change over time was observed in France, even parts of Spain, but we associate it with the southern Italian states, and it really was a change over time. It was not a distinct event in history.
Okay, so I got 4 out of 5. What's my grade?
That would be a B minus.
Missing one is a B minus?
That's 80%. On the grading scale that we use, that's B minus. On other grading scales, that's a C.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
Spanky poo.
But I only missed
Spankies.
One.
Clap the erasers.
Well, now, okay.
Stay after school and take your clothes off.
Did you enjoy...
Get on your hands and knees.
You're going to be doing that soon. Did you enjoy lecturing a little bit on the podcast today?
I hope the listeners enjoyed it.
But did you enjoy it?
I certainly did.
So maybe we'll see what the reaction is from the listeners, and if they like it, maybe when you come back from vacation, you can do it again.
I want to know how other listeners answered these questions, and I want to know, do you need a spanky poo? Let me know, and I will be over right away to give you a good spanking.
But since you gave the answers, they can just lie and say they got them all right.
Not if you want a spanky poo.
All right.
I bet some out there really want their spankies, and they would actually lie and say, I got them all wrong. Keep me after class, teacher. Teach me, teacher.
Just so you can give them a spanky poo.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a very nice little lecture you gave, and I'm glad I got at least an 80 on it. Now, the boyfriend is leaving for vacation. By the time you're hearing this, he's already in Louisiana. And then, now when do you leave to go to the beach from Louisiana?
Well, from Louisiana, we go east of Fort Walton Beach. We're leaving on Saturday. It's going to be like a 5-hour drive. This road, we don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Because everything from Galveston to Fort Walton has been destroyed by 6 hurricanes.
Right.
So we're going east of there. So Saturday, I will be out of commission until then. For about a week.
Out of communication, right?
That's right.
Okay, so boys and girls, you won't hear the boyfriend for the next 10 days.
Now
you'll hear me.
That's right, but, you know, if we get whacked by a hurricane, just look on the TV. If you see me on a roof waving a flag, come and get me.
I will.
All right.
All right, so boys and girls, that's all for today. Have a great weekend, and until next time,
bye.
Bye.
Charade.